welcome to Inspired Island, where every episode we sit down with someone living an inspired life here on Vashon Island in Puget Sound. From world-class artists and musicians to chefs and business owners, our little rural island has it all. I'm your host, Grace McCray, a new full-time Vashon Island resident, and thank you for joining me on this journey to discover why Vashon is such an inspired island. And hello, everyone. We're lucky enough to have Stacy Hinden here in the studio today. Welcome to the show, Stacy.
Thanks a lot, Grace.
Now, Stacy is the executive director of the Vashon Wilderness Program, which provides mentoring through nature immersion programs both on and beyond Vashon Island. The program, which has been around for more than a decade, offers school year programs and summer camps for children, nature skills workshops for adults, nature mentoring trainings for parents and educators, and if that wasn't enough, seasonal celebrations for the community. So I'm really eager to hear more about the program and more about Stacy as a person. So Stacy, I'd love to hear a little bit about your sort of origin story. Where does your story begin and what were you like as a kid?
Oh my goodness. I was born and raised in New York City.
Wow.
Yeah, I was a city kid who did not have a lot of exposure to nature.
The concrete jungle.
Yeah, the concrete jungle. I think my very first connection with nature was really through the puddles in the parking lot and through little figurine frogs that I had lined on my shelves. I absolutely had a thing for frogs. I think a lot of kids do. And a lot of kids, when they're younger, they wind up chasing them and catching them. But I just had them to look at and play with and pretend that I was one. So, yeah, it really wasn't until I was 18 that I went camping. It was a total urban life.
And did you spend time in Central Park?
I did.
Okay.
I did. I mean, I was in my earliest years, I was in the Bronx, which was urban. But I did have a little park that I played in. And my dad used to play paddleball in the city parks. And there were big outcroppings of rocks that I used to love to climb on. And that was my nature.
Wow. And so when did you first leave New York?
Well, when I was 18 and I went to college.
Oh, okay.
And I met friends there and we went camping for the very first time. And I will never forget the incredible peace that I felt. The forest was so quiet. There was pine needles on the ground and it was just such a welcoming place. And at the same time, I realized that I was pretty uncomfortable and scared because I had never had that kind of experience. And growing up as a city kid, you know, we learn different sets of survival skills, which has to do a lot with actually fostering disconnection. So it was a very welcomed relief to begin to explore nature as a young adult. And then I just couldn't get enough of it. Even as a dance major in college, the studio was situated above a beautiful creek, and there was a whole wall of windows that lined one side of the studio. And as we were doing our warm-up exercises at the bar, I remember just catching myself daydreaming, looking outside and just wanting to be outside. I remember questioning my commitment to dance. I had trained as a dancer my whole life.
Yeah.
And I was questioning it because I thought, wow, if I'm not present in the room here and I'm daydreaming about nature, what does that say about me?
Right. I never thought about that. I mean, dancing traditionally is an indoor activity, which is kind of funny.
It is. And the funny part about my trajectory with that was that it went through a very formal training and took me into a whole world of dance performance, which I enjoyed for a while. Mm-hmm. And that, though, made a turn when I went 1 year out to Colorado. I went to the Naropa Institute for a summer program, and it was there that I met someone who introduced a more contemplative approach to movement. I began to see that movement was not just about entertainment, it was or creative expressive art. It was also about healing. And that took me on a path that went very deep into what I now refer to and understand as inner ecological work. And so when I first moved out here and encountered the previous iteration of the Vashon Wilderness Program, I was amazed that what I was seeing them doing, the mentors doing with youth in nature, I felt like I had been doing for the last 20 years, but in terms of internal excavation and researching, cultivating presence and empathy and compassion within oneself.
So there was a through line there that might not have been obvious, but it was there.
Exactly.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. And so how did you leave college and become a professional dancer, or what was after college? Okay.
Yeah. After college, I danced professionally in New York with some downtown choreographers. Downtown is the term referred to sort of the more avant-garde dance community. Learned a lot of contact improvisation, and that was my main expression at the time. And as I said, you know, did that for a while until I took a more of a turn in looking internally and looking at researching mindfulness as it came through a somatic practice.
Was it hard to make the move back to New York City after having the experience with college and being closer to nature?
Yes, yes. But what drew me back was the man who became my husband.
Oh, okay. So it was for a good cause.
Yeah, it was for a good cause. But we knew right from the beginning of our relationship that we had wanted to leave New York.
Okay.
We had both grown up there, and we were both tired, and we were both looking for something different. And even as young adults in our mid to late 20s, our nervous systems were already burnt out.
Wow.
And we needed something different. And so when the opportunity came up to consider a move out here to the West Coast, we took it. It was not an easy decision because all our family was on the East Coast, but we decided that we needed to explore and investigate what that could be for us and our, at the time, growing young family.
So it was a move straight to Vashon. You didn't...
Actually, it was.
Wow. I haven't heard that too often.
Yeah, people would joke and say, how the heck did you find out about Vashon from New York City? And the funny thing is that we had a friend who had a sister who had a college roommate who had a friend. And by all these degrees of separation, we met Zabette McComber. And she is a Vashon Island resident for a long time now. A lot of people know her through currently her work on the school board.
Mm.
Vashon is a very welcoming place, and Zabette is a great example of that. And she opened her home to my husband, who came out 6 weeks prior to my family moving. He came out to find us a place to live. It was the easiest way to go, me at home with three kids and packing up a house that we had lived in.
Yeah.
And him beginning his work at the University of Washington and looking for a place, a neighborhood, where were we going to land? And Zabette opening her home and us, he experienced Iowild back then. Iowild was still a big arts festival going on at the time. And he came to the island right smack in the middle of it and just fell in love with it and the beaches and said to me, what do you think about living on an island? And all the way from New York, I said, what are you kidding me? All I could think about was Staten Island, and no way would I ever live on an island. But as it turns out, it was the best move we ever made.
That's amazing. And did the children take to it as well?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. We first rented on the east side of the island.
Okay.
We were advised to rent to make sure that my husband could handle that commute. That was a big thing that we heard over and over again, that commuting could make or break a life here.
Yeah.
So we were renting, and my kids, I remember one of the first days that they went outside and they came running back into the house right away. And I said, Mom, there's a giant pickle on the driveway. You have to see this. And I had no idea what they could possibly be talking about. I ran out there and I saw it was my first exposure to a new animal. It was the banana slug.
Yeah.
The iconic banana slug. It's gigantic with its spots. And yeah, we were all enamored with the enormity and the tremendous life force that is in nature, all on this island and all around. I mean, just being able to look out across it, the mountains, and to see the evergreen trees. And it's just, there's so much life energy out here that is palpable, and was so overwhelming for us when we first moved because of the urban life that we had been living.
Right. So you probably appreciated it in a way that maybe not everyone would, because you had the polar opposite.
Polar opposite.
Prior to that. So I know there was a wilderness school here on Vashon way back when. Is that how you first got involved in sort of wilderness programs on Vashon?
Yeah, the Wilderness Awareness School, which is based in Duval, Washington, and has been around now for about 30 years, was running a program out here on Vashon. And that's because there were a group of parents who knew of this approach to mentoring with children in nature and to developing community in nature. And so they had been at some point in time prior to my coming on the island, they were all commuting 2 hours out to Duval for programming.
Oh, wow.
And there had been enough of them after a period of time that Vashon approached the Wilderness Awareness School and said, would you be willing to staff people out here and run a program out here?
Mm.
And so that had started in the early 2000s. And by the time we arrived on the island, it had been going for a while. And I met, just by happenstance, I met one of the key families that had been involved in that, building that relationship. I had taken my kids to Ober Park on the second day that we had arrived. And we saw another child playing on the swing set. And I saw her t-shirt and was just enamored with the image of, I think it was a coyote, or I can't remember what was on it right now. But I made a comment to the mom about the t-shirt, and we got to chatting, and she told me about this program. And I thought, wow, this sounds fascinating. I'd like to come and visit. So soon after that, we actually went down to Camp Sealth, which is where the program had started and continues to this day. And we were invited to just witness and participate. And I was blown away. Mm. I had seen children and adults who were in a state of absolute wonder and joy and vitality and peace. Like, there was incredible moments of absolute calm and presence in these children. And I thought, what is going on here? I want that. I want that for my family. So that was the beginning, and I just haven't stopped. Yeah.
And so did your kids get involved in that program?
Yeah.
Okay.
All three of my kids went through the program, and all of them actually went on to give back as volunteers at one point or another. So they continued to help assist, mentor other children as well.
And what do you think it is about group experience in wilderness? Because I know most of my wilderness experiences have been either just like with my husband and my dog, or just solo out on the trails walking my dog. What's different about getting a bunch of kids together, for example?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's about kids, and it's about the connections that they have with their adult mentors and with the elders that are also a part of the program.
Mm.
So there's an elder council that is very much a part of the leadership structure and supports the programming itself. So it's a multi-generational experience that the kids are having when they're out in the field. And there's something about, as human beings, that when we are in groups in different ages all together, and we're really in a state of curiosity and wonder and exploration, it evokes and taps into that pretty instinctive DNA that we all have, which is back in each of our individual lines, our own ancestry. We'll find, if we go back far enough, we'll find that we know how to live in community, grounded in nature, in a reciprocal, respectful, sustainable way with the natural world, and that nature is not something separate from us,
right,
that we're a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we feel our most alive and our most whole and healthy when we are in a good way with one another and with the land that supports us, nourishes us, and essentially keeps us alive.
And there's been some really interesting coverage by like National Geographic and others in terms of how the rise in technology is getting us further and further from that.
Yeah.
As you say, a part of us, each of us in our DNA of a long history of humans living very closely with nature and one another.
Yeah, we live in a very unique time because technology is here. It's mm-hmm. here to stay, and it is a useful tool. The challenge is to be able to walk in both worlds, not just the world of technology, mm-hmm. because of its now scientifically studied detrimental impacts on cognition, on social emotional well-being, on, you know, just our capacity for resiliency. Mm. We're seeing in our own programs an increased rise in anxiety and depression and dysregulation among children that we didn't see even 5 years ago.
Wow.
Let alone 10 years
ago. Wow.
It's really been rapidly accelerating, and we're not the only ones to notice this. You know, we talk to other educators on the island who are also noticing these same trends.
Yeah.
And it is linked in part to technology.
And in terms of the Vashon Wilderness Program, did the Wilderness Awareness School prompt what would become what we now know as the Vashon Wilderness Program?
Yeah, absolutely. We are considered a daughter school of the Wilderness Awareness School.
Okay.
So back in 2007, after they had been running programs for quite a number of years, they realized that it was very difficult for them to continue staffing, sending people 4 hours commuting round trip and then teaching for 5 hours. And it was very difficult because the model that we work with, it's an approach to really regenerating culture. It's difficult to do that if you're not part of the community itself. So they did let us know that they weren't going to be running programs out here anymore. Mm. And that really prompted the community of parents who had been involved to get together and figure out what we wanted to do, because mm-hmm. our children had been thriving. Our families had been really supported by the program and all of the community connections we were making. And it was a particular approach to nature mentoring that we really valued. And we talked about going in different directions and taking on different pedagogies, but we decided that this was what we wanted. And so we formed a nonprofit that became Vashon Wilderness Program. And it just has been growing ever since.
Can you explain a little bit for people who aren't familiar with the program? What do you offer?
Well, there are these 8 different interrelated shields, if you will. They're like our curriculum that we're always exploring.
Mm-hmm.
The seasons really guides what's in the foreground for us.
Yep.
But we're approaching safety in nature, exploring sensory awareness. We're always working to help rebalance kids' nervous systems throughout all that we do. We explore bird language.
And oh, interesting.
What it is that our winged friends tell us about what's happening in the forest. We get to interpret their language by their vocalizations and their body language and their actions. We also will teach about animal tracking and wild edible harvesting. So it's learning what food and medicine is right out there for us, and how do we sustainably harvest and nourish our bodies. We teach about survival skills, you know, how to build fire without any matches, or how to set up a debris shelter, and how you lost proof yourself. How do you wander without any aids at all? No compass, no map. And we're teaching about place, about how to connect with the place that is right here. You don't need to go far to experience nature. There's mm-hmm. so much nature right in your own backyard, mm-hmm. and creating a very intimate relationship with a small piece is essential to that kind of deep nature connection, and it fosters a sense of communion, and it helps people to tend it, to fall in love with it. And when people fall in love with nature, they're just naturally going to protect it.
Yeah.
So all of these different areas that we explore, we do it in a very particular way, and there's a name for it. It's called coyote mentoring.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. It's a very alluring name.
Yeah, you know, I like to tell a story about how coyote is an animal that doesn't ever directly approach you. It's going to be on the perimeters of the forest or the field. And if you can follow its trail, it might lead you to find it or not. But it's a metaphor for following one's innate sense of curiosity and a desire to learn, because you need to know something. And so part of coyote mentoring is really about cultivating those relationships with what you really want to know about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's following the lead of the learner. And so the mentors are like guides in that respect. They definitely plan the day, but they plan to let go of half the day and allow for what's arising, whatever, you know, we're finding in the natural world or whatever is sparked in the children. So following kids' curiosity is really, really important. And practicing the art of questioning, knowing how to find the edges of their awareness and just ask that next question that's going to take them a little bit further beyond what they already know is also part of that coyote mentoring process. And we do all of that in what we call invisible teaching, which really has to do with engaging in the ways that children are passionate about.
Mm.
So children love to play. And so there is so much learning that happens when you activate a child's body and their brain. Literally just enough adrenaline in the body will open up receptors in the nervous system for taking in new information and experiences. And so we use a lot of games to play and to instill these lessons that we're trying to impart. Similarly with stories and with songs, there's a lot of oral tradition that we bring to the program. And stories can be used to activate their imagination or to inspire them or inspire the lesson for the day, like whatever it is that we're hoping to explore with them, whether it be heading out to find nettles and learning how to harvest it without getting stung. You know, we might tell a story about an experience with nettles, or it might be more of a lore, you know, something that's a little bit more imaginal. And we try to meet them where they are. So, of course, it will look different for a 4 to 6 year old program than it would for a teen program.
Right.
But essentially, those elements of coyote mentoring are there. And there's always a moment, too, to bring out what we refer to as sort of trickster energy. You know, trickster is kind of a magical element in a lot of cultures, stories, and is definitely used very carefully by our mentors to kind of shake things up a little bit and even meet kids in their outrageous play or in their mischievous selves that they are. It really can build a lot of trust between the child and the mentor. And it can also kind of shake things up in the sense that we don't ever want kids, especially, but adults too, to get fixed in their mindset. We want them to always be asking and wondering and thinking for themselves and challenging and not just swallowing other people's assumptions.
Right.
I think critical thinking can be tended to in a lot of different ways. And we certainly do find that at the Wilderness Program.
And how many mentors are involved in the program?
Right now, there are 8 on
okay.
staff.
Wow.
Yeah. And we'll have probably the same number for our summer camps.
Wow, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. I love the approach to learning as well, because something that I've struggled with my whole life is memory, but I can remember things and they stick with me through song and mm-hmm. through activities and play. So I think I probably could have benefited a lot from such a program as a kid.
Everybody learns differently, mm-hmm. and experiential learning is at the center of yeah. what we do. In fact, it's our whole approach, like why we say that we don't do a lot of didactic teaching. You know, we will explain things to kids. Sometimes we'll actually ask a child, do you really want to know the answer or do you want a clue? And it's great when they say, oh, no, give me a clue. Give me a clue. Because they're still invested, you know, in opening their mind to taking responsibility for their learning process. And I think when any human does that, when they bring their own volition to that learning process, they own it. It becomes authentic for them and it keeps it alive.
Yeah.
But there's a place. There's a place where we definitely explain things like straight up front.
Explicitly.
But yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I know that you do have some programs for adults. So say I wanted to get involved with the Vashon Wilderness Program. What are the types of avenues and programs that you have for mm-hmm. adults on the island?
Yeah, well, we've been experimenting over the last few years, offering mostly workshop formats. Mm-hmm. So once a month, there might be a workshop on a different topic. So it could be about fire making, or it could be about making tinctures for medicine, or how to cook over an open fire, or we did offer a workshop on bird language recently, and we have an upcoming retreat for women to explore the interconnected relationship between plants and the body. Mm. So it's a celebration, really, of summer and the body of the earth and our bodies.
Yeah.
That's coming up on June 29th. And so those are more like skills workshops. And then we also offer every fall for parents and educators and anyone really who has children in their lives who wants to learn about our approach to education and mm-hmm. mentoring, they can take our coyote mentoring workshop. And that's been really helpful, I hear, for parents who some of them are involved in our programs and they want to learn how to continue that kind of a learning journey at home, or for educators who really want to inspire their students and create more of a culture of unity and engagement in their classrooms. It doesn't necessarily mean that they need to take them outside.
Yeah.
Although connecting, if nature is their lens, then that's great. But no matter what their curriculum is, it could be math or music. There's still a way to follow a natural learning cycle that we teach in our workshops that's very supportive and engaging for educators. And when you've got an educator that's inspired, you know that that's contagious in the classroom.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And as executive director of the Vashon Wilderness Program, what is sort of your favorite aspect of the role that you play at the organization?
I wear so many hats. You know, as an executive director for a nonprofit, we all wear so many hats. I love the people engagement. There's so many different ways to do that, whether it's connecting with the parents directly, or I will go and visit the children. I'll visit in the field. I will actually teach the Coyote Mentoring Workshop for parents and educators, which is wonderful because I love to teach as well. And I also really love cultivating connections in the community. So talking with other people, not unlike yourself or, you know, people at Dove or VYFS, and where are the potential collaborations for us to serve our island community? That's really exciting. And I really love event planning. I love putting on our annual wild fundraiser. It's so fun.
That's a valuable skill. Not everybody likes that.
Yeah. Yeah. And writing, I guess. There's, you know, I communicate through writing as well.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think the relationship piece is really central for me. It's why I can be an executive director for this kind of organization, because there's such an embodiment of the principles and the values that resonate with my life personally, that I don't feel like I have to put on a work face to go to work. It's very contiguous for me. It's very embodied, and I've always been about embodiment from my dance days and my movement therapy days, and now through the Nature Connection work, it's all about creating those relationships.
Yeah. And on the flip side, are there any sort of challenges you're facing or obstacles or things that you spend a lot of time trying to tackle in this type of work?
Yeah, I mean, as a small nonprofit, you know, we're always trying to make sure that there's access to our programs for all different kinds of people. And so because of that, we do have to fundraise. And so that's challenging. And it's challenging on an island that has so many wonderful causes and so many valuable reasons to donate. And, you know, building our constituency and building relationships with donors is an ongoing process that I think is both fun and rewarding and challenging.
Yeah.
So we're always looking to broaden our reach and broaden our connections. And that includes, you know, welcoming new board members to the organization who resonate with our mission and who really want to see us have a wider impact. I think that's a really worthy pursuit for both me and others on the island to tend to that. And then there's the issue of land.
Land.
Yeah. We have a relationship with Camp Sealth during the school year, and we do love that relationship. It's been over 20 years that we've been operating programs either via the Wilderness Awareness School or Vashon Wilderness Program. But in the summer times, we can't be on that land. And so we've had terrific connections with King County, with Land Trust, and we're able to access the Maury Island Marine Park or Island Center Forest to run our programs. And they've been incredible sponsors for our work. The challenge, though, is that there's so many more children to reach, and our capacity to expand our program offerings is really dependent on access to land. So having a place where we can really go off trail, where we can harvest sustainably, where we can build shelters, where we can really explore with the children, where we can have fire pits so that we can have fires, because we're out there in all weather all year round. And having adequate shelter. We don't have to have a building, but we do need to be able to hang a tarp and leave it up or have a freestanding shelter. So we're always looking for people to let us know about opportunities to be on land that can be generative and where the land will receive a lot of care and tending, because it's so much a part of what we do is to help the youth really steward places, really leave it better than they found it.
It's really important.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, even the new programs we're trying to run for next year, you know, we're still looking for the right connections with land. So our new two-day program for the 3 to 6-year-olds, it's our new farm and forest program. We've had a great connection with Plum Forest Farm, so we know that we can run that program on an organic farm with access to woodlands around it.
Wow.
The Earthwalker Teen Program is going to happen once a month, and there's already only 7 spots left for that program. So we're excited, but we're still looking for a home for that program because it's a weekend program. And our after-school program, too, it's a new one that we're trying to launch called Herbal Kids After School. So yeah, those are in progress in terms of establishing and rooting connection with land. Yeah.
Yes. So if anybody's listening and has any ideas for Stacey, definitely
reach out.
Her an email. Well, thank you again. And we've been ending every show with little fun, quick question round. Are you game?
Sure.
So the Seattle area is known for good beverages. Do you have a favorite beverage here on Vashon?
In the summer, when it's warm out, I love the Frappuccinos at Cafe Luna.
Ooh, they're delicious.
Oh, yeah. Thick and icy and coffee. It's a great combination.
Yeah, that's a good one. And if you're not at home or work, where can people most often find you on the island? Do you have any favorite haunts?
Oh, yeah. I love to walk the trails at Island Center Forest and also at Shingle Mill. That's one of my favorite spots. Yeah.
Good ones. Mm-hmm. And do you have any pet peeves about island living, especially as a New Yorker?
Well, I will say that part of the romance of living here is that we have to cross the water. Mm. And I love that transition. And my pet peeve is watching a ferry pull away when it's not completely full and there are cars still on the dock. That's really a pet peeve of mine.
Oh, yes. I share that one. And do you have a favorite Vashon Island tradition?
Oh, I have to say, there's two. Can I say two?
Okay, of course.
So one is in the fall when the town shuts down and people of all ages take to the streets in costumes.
Yeah.
The Halloween tradition here is so beautiful. It's such a sweet time where it's quiet without traffic. And it's imaginative and creative and community oriented. And I love the way the businesses just open their doors and just support the community. It's just great. And so along with that, then, too, is First Fridays. I have to say, I really love First Fridays and the way that it brings out community in a whole other way. It's very, very creative and festive. And I just love it.
I love those, too.
Yeah.
Good ones. Lastly, where can people find you or learn more about you and the program?
Just head right on over to VashonWildernessProgram.org.
And thank you so much for coming today, Stacey. I could have talked to you for hours.
Thank you, Grace. It was fun.
And thank you all for listening. Again, this is Inspired Island on Voice of Vashon, KVSH 101.9 FM LP. Until next time, stay inspired.